need you to go to two places in your Bible. Acts chapter 27 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Acts 27. Acts 27. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have, last week we began a, chapter 5 and 27. Last week we began a new series on solid steps of a Christian's growth. solid steps of Christian growth. Now, God has called a Christian to grow up. You start off as newborn babes, amen? That's why it uses the term being born again. But you're not born by corruptible seed, by seed that is going to end up, temporary seed with a temporary life is going to end up in a short life and finally death. We have a seed that gives us eternal life. And he says, I want you to grow, and in growing, I want to make you fruitful. Fruitful is a Bible word for success. Being successful as a Christian. Acts chapter 27, first off, and each one of these things are important steps for you to take and to build your life upon. The Christian begins with faith, and that's what we're going to talk today. We're going to talk about faith. And if you will, look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 25. Now, Paul, if you could just see the context of this thing, if you could picture in your mind a storm in the middle of the Mediterranean. It is a two-week long storm. Whenever there's a hurricane, or if you read last week about what are they called when they hit Australia? They're called cyclones. If you were to experience a cyclone comes through, and in 3 days, it's over with. From the time that it starts to the time it has passed and it's back to clear skies, 2 days, 3 days maximum. The storm that Paul and a ship full of prisoners is experiencing is lasting 2 long weeks. They don't see the sun. They are in fear of their life. The ship is creaking and falling apart. They are throwing everything, absolutely everything, overboard. And Paul, this Christian, has the audacity, if you don't mind, verse 25, of saying this, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I mean, what a statement. It is pouring outside. The wind is driving that ship left and right. They haven't slept. They're hardly eating. They are thinking they're going to die. And Paul says, whoopee! Be of good cheer. But this is why Paul can say it. Look at the rest of it. For I believe God. Now that's faith. I believe God. But he's not just believing in God, this unknown being out there in Neverland. He says, I believe God. Underline these next words. That it shall be even as it was told me. That God will do what he promised me. Do you hear him? This is faith that you are seeing in the life of the Apostle Paul. Faith is believing God as he promised in his word. Now, Christianity begins with faith. Christianity begins with faith. If you want a simple, I've already defined it for you, but simple definition. It's not complex. Faith is believing and trusting in God. Alright? There's no profound way to say it. Just believe in God. Paul said it. I believe God. I don't believe my eyes. I don't believe my heart. I don't believe the captain of the ship. I don't believe the meteorologist. I believe God. You understand? I believe God. Every Christian starts with faith as the first step in their Christian life. It's the only place to start. And then, as a Christian, they build, they add to that faith. Now, two things about faith. A Christian is saved by faith. You understand that? A Christian is saved by faith, and the Christian continues to live by faith. You don't get saved by faith and then live by works. No, we do good works. We're called, we're commissioned, we're commanded to do good works, but that's not our life. Our life is a life of faith. The just shall live by works. Is that what the Scripture says? No, the just shall live by faith. Now, 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith. Now, when the Bible uses the word walk, what is it talking about? We live. It's a walk. It's what I do when I go from A to B. Amen? I do it by faith. And we don't do it by sight. Now, that's absolutely profound because the world has to see things, has to have it all laid out. But a Christian knows, God told me to do this, I'm going to do it, and I know I will succeed. That's faith. Most people say this. Listen to me. Most people say, we're so worried about what's happening in the world. Some say, well, if things don't change in our world, we're finished. Christians don't live that way. At least they shouldn't live that way. I don't live by the media and its portrayal of life. I don't live in fear. Not if I'm living by faith. I live by faith in the eternal God. Amen? I think television is too strong of a grip on the Christian's life. If there was a nuclear bomb dropped on some place in the world, I'm telling you, Christians would just fall apart in fear just like everybody else. If the economy were to collapse and people were to start leaving Ireland, people would get so depressed. And their joy would go as fast as the plug, the water in your tub. You see, we are too tied by what the media tells us, by what the opinions of the radio and Oprah Winfrey and everybody is feeding us, and we live and we walk by what we see and what we hear instead of by faith. I want to help correct that this morning. God wants His children to live in absolute dependence on Him. By faith, we ought to be able to believe God enough that He is still able to bring people into His kingdom and save them from their sins. By faith, we're going to have to believe that. We're just going to, hey, you say, well, I have witnessed to so-and-so, I have encouraged, I have tried my best, and they're still not getting saved. Well, don't live by what you see and by what you feel. You're going to have to live by faith that He still can save the impossible cases. Amen. I still believe that God is able to send out more people to preach, to teach, to start churches, to serve God. I believe God still can and does do the impossible. A Christian will believe God for the funds, for the buildings, and whatever it takes to do the work He wants us to do, whether it's Reformers Unanimous or whether it's a teen activity building, God still can and will do what only He can do. God has always proven Himself faithful. You know, people can get upset over many things, but a Christian, put it down the personal, people can get really upset over things. But I don't get upset over them when I know that everything is under God's control. That's faith. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask Him to help our faith. Father, please bless this word to Your people. Open our eyes. Build our faith. Lord, the rest of the steps are going to be heavy. They're going to weigh us down. It's going to be hard to love some unlovable people. It's going to be hard to put some barriers, some draw some lines in the sand between us and temptation and sin and the world and the flesh. It's going to be hard. And if we don't have the foundation of faith rock solid in our life, every one of the other steps are going to sway and crumble and fall. This is the most important ingredient of the Christian's life. That whole book that you gave us called the Bible is a book of faith. And we're going to have to learn how to live by that book instead of by our hearts and our world around us. And if we do, we'll finally have life. We already have eternal life, but the life we're living right now is pretty miserable much of the time. Change that, Lord. And for somebody in this room who's lived by their wits, and lived by their abilities, and lived by their religion, and they've lived by their prayers, and they've lived by their church, and never lived by faith, never trusted Jesus Christ by faith, and never been born again, today is a good day for them to know that it's only by faith in the perfection of Jesus Christ that will save their soul. I pray they get saved today and they'll understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are two kinds of faith. There are only two. There's a right and the wrong faith. Let me talk about the wrong faith first. Wrong faith, I'm going to label as a wasted faith. If I were to identify and say that is the wrong kind of faith, I'm talking about a kind of faith that is blind. A guessing kind of faith. Where somebody has a hope, they are trying, they are wishing for something to happen, but they never have any idea and they certainly have no guarantee that it's going to happen. That's a blind kind of faith. And God is not asking you to live by blind faith at all. I don't live by blind faith. I have a faith that I can see with my eyes. Amen? This is what Jude calls, the book of Jude says, the faith once delivered to the saints. My faith is not my own. We understand that. It's not that I'm trying to live by my faith. My faith is flawed. If I'm going to live by faith, I'm going to have to live by a faith that is secure, that is rock solid. Guess whose faith that is? Jesus Christ. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. So we're not talking about a blind faith. Well, you Christians, you have a blind faith. No, an evolutionist has a bigger blind faith. They've never seen anything that they claimed. Millions of years ago, all of these bones just fit together by accident. That's faith, man. That's a blind faith. 6,000 years ago, everything came into existence from nothing. You say, that's blind faith. No, I read it. It was written by God. It's not a blind faith at all. Wrong faith, wasted faith is a neglecting kind of faith. And that's where I'm going to talk to some of you have the wrong kind of faith. You may be born again, blood bought, praise God, but your faith is paper thin. It's not a foundation to build a life on. Your faith is built upon, is made up of your parents' faith. Amen. It's built upon your preacher's faith. Amen. It's built on somebody's preaching on the radio or some book you read. It's built upon other people's confidence in God. You yourself don't have a confidence in God, and shame on you. And I pity you when the storm hits like paper. You're going to be blown about. You'll be ruined. People leave their faith up to somebody else. Well, I trust my priest. You know, if you talk to the priest, you know what he'd say? Well, I'm trusting the faith of the bishop. You talk to the bishop. The bishop says, well, I'm trusting the cardinal. I'm praying that he's got enough faith. You talk to the cardinal. The cardinal says, well, I'm trusting the pope that he's got enough faith for the church. You need your own faith. Do you understand? Don't leave it to somebody else. Your confidence in God must be yours and yours alone. Somebody said it this way. Don't try and ride on anybody else's spiritual coattails. There's a big fancy dinner. And everybody's right coming in with these big monkey suits, you know. You know what I'm talking about, a monkey suit. You know, it's all black, big tie, sash, you know. And they're all going in there with their top hats. And then you come in, you know. You're trying to get in. You've got your jeans on, your runners, and, you know, a t-shirt. And you got grease from fixing the car all over your hands. And you try to get in there, and they go, sorry. Oh, I want to get in. There's nice food inside there. And then you see somebody else coming in. And what do? You put their coattail over you, and you try to come in right behind them. They're all dressed up, but you're using their covering to cover you. Can't do that. Don't try to ride in on somebody else's spiritual coattails. you get into a problem, what's the first thing you do?
Call the pastor. Pray for me.
Amen, I will. Don't doubt it. But don't trust in his prayer life to get you through. Amen? That's what we're talking about. That's the wrong kind of faith. And I'm telling you, if you're trusting your pastor's faith, you've got a wasted faith. In simple terms, the wrong kind of faith is trusting any other source for truth other than the Bible. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you trusting your experiences. Well, I know what I saw. I saw it was in the plaster. And this vision was just as clear as day. And it told me there's a UFO out there waiting for us. That's wasted faith, amen? Do you understand? You say, but I know what I saw. I know what happened to me. It's wasted faith if it's outside of the Word of God, amen? Wasted faith means you're trusting maybe your feelings. I just can't get over how I feel. God is greater than our hearts. You ever read that scripture? Anybody who trusts their feelings, well, I feel that God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Ever met anybody like that? I just can't understand why God would even talk about hell. I just don't believe in hell. I just don't believe the Bible can talk about such things. I don't believe in a God like that. That's feelings. It's wasted faith. How about somebody standing up there and saying about their past, God couldn't save me. Oh, I got news for you. He can save to the uttermost. Somebody said it this way. He can save to the guttermost. Amen? How could God even forgive me? Listen, if you trust any other source for truth other than the Bible, it is wasted faith. Whether it's your feelings, whether it's your past, all your experiences. Well, I tell you what, God seems to be on my side. Everything I do just seems to be a success. What should it profit a man if he gains the whole world and it's a success in everything he does and he loses his own soul? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? Your failure. It's wasted faith. Some people, for faith, they get up in the morning and they can't go anywhere until they turn on the television and find out what their star sign is telling them to do today. Some people look to evolution to tell them what is truth. Some people live by superstitions. That's wasted faith, amen? Let me talk about the second kind of faith. I just simply call it right faith. Real faith. Let's go to two scriptures, if you don't mind. Hebrews chapter 11 and 2 Peter 1. Hebrews chapter 11 first. The right kind of faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where the scriptures are that describe each one of these ingredients needed to be in our life that we have to add to our life, beginning with faith. Nobody is born a Christian. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. Well, I was born a Catholic. Well, then you need to be born again. Well, I was born a Baptist. Well, then you need to be born again. Well, I was born Irish. Well, you need to be born again. Well, I was born American. Then you definitely need to be born again. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let me talk to you about faith. What is real faith? Faith is five things here, real quick. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is, here's your key word, the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You know what faith is? Faith is the substance of my hope. I have a hope to go to heaven, but I have a faith that is sure that I'm going to get there. Do you understand the difference? I'm just not hoping. I have a confidence that God said it, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I've only met one person in my life who said, I hope to go to hell. And he was a Satanist. He thought he had sold his soul to the devil. And I told him, you may have sold it, but God can pay double for your soul. He'll buy it back from you. Amen. The rest of everybody I talked to, I hope to go to heaven. I hope to go to heaven. I know I'm going. Have you seen heaven? Nope. You seen Jesus? Nope. But I have the substance of what I hope for. What is that? My faith. That's my faith. Where's your faith? In a book. Amen. I just didn't make it up. Amen. Real faith has substance. You know, it is built upon the fact of things that you have never seen. You know what Job 26 verse 7 says? It's the oldest book in your Bible. Job was written at the time of Abraham. Oh, I had some things. I wish I could have had time. Things that mothers of famous people in the Bible would have had to have said. Things like, David, don't sling that thing in the house. And Abraham, here's the mother of Abraham. Abraham, would you quit your wandering and get in here and do your chores? Here's Abraham. At the time of Abraham, you've got a man named Job. And listen to God, reveal something to Job. Job says, I worship him who hangs the earth upon nothing. Now that's written 2,000 years before Christ. You got it? By faith you can believe in gravity. Amen? Never ever see gravity. You got Isaiah chapter 40, and it says this. God is not a God of man's makings, not a statue. This God that we worship is the God that can sit upon the circle of the earth. Not the flat surface, not the flat earth theory, where everything falls off the edge, but the circle of the earth. Now, it took until Christopher Columbus ran into San Salvador and ran into islands off the coast of America for them to start to figure out, I guess, the earth is made round. But every Bible believer who ever read that Bible had a confidence, had a faith that told them the earth is a circle. Amen? It's the evidence of things not seen. It took a couple of satellites getting 23,000 miles off the surface, looking back at the earth going, well, look at there, it is a ball. Amen? It's not a triangle. It's not a square. It's a ball. But we knew that already from the Bible, didn't we? It's the evidence of things. Real faith has substance. Somebody says, well, you have a religious fairy tale you're believing. No, it isn't. I have substance and I have evidence. It's the Bible. You know, real faith, secondly, go over to the right, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, in verse 1, real faith is precious. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? He calls faith there precious. It means rare. I know a lot of people who claim to believe, but all they do, when they say believe, what they mean is, well, I go along with it. That's what they mean. Well, I don't disagree with it. That's all they mean. Oh, yeah, I mentally agree with it, but don't ask me to live by it. Let me show you a comparison. See, holding here, go back a few pages, go to James chapter 2. Hold your place there. James chapter 2 and verse 19. Just a few pages back. You'll find the book of James chapter 2 and verse 19. You know, if somebody has a faith that where they just agree with what their parents have taught, they just agree with what the preacher has said, they just agree with what the Bible says, but they don't live by it, you know what they have? They have the faith of devils. I wouldn't want that. James chapter 2 verse 19, brethren. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter, sorry. Chapter 2 verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Hey, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You're not in good company. You're going to have more than the faith of devils if you're going to be a Christian. You know, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is a child of God. You know what that is? That's spiritual talk. I know people who've been around Christians. Maybe somebody in your family gets saved, and then they begin to witness. And as they are talking to the family, at first, every word out of the mouth of the parents or out of a brother or sister is all curse words and is all filthy words. And then somebody else in the family gets saved. Then the name of Jesus is a little more set by and protected. They don't say, they don't condemn everything so flippantly and so quickly. And then somebody else gets saved. And one of the people in the family starts giving up and says, well, I better start talking like a Christian too before I get overwhelmed and they gang up on me and try to win me too. So they start to talk like a Christian. They start to say, boy, the Lord sure has blessed us. And they don't believe it a minute. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? Just because somebody has spiritual talk means nothing, really. Real faith is rare. I'm going to say this. I was talking to Joseph. Not everybody's going to get saved. I'll tell you what, most everybody's going to be religious. But real faith, if you've got real faith, it is rare. You're saying, how come there's not 2,000 people in church today? It's rare to find people who just believe that book from start to finish. Amen? Would you agree? Not everybody who prays and tries their hardest and goes to church every week, not every one of those who do those things is actually going to heaven. It is rare to find someone with the faith of a child. Amen? Your faith, your first step here is to get your faith right. Third, real faith is common. He says there, back there in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained, I like that word, like. He's talking about common. Common and yet rare faith. You know what real faith is universal. It's not just for pastors. Well, I know my pastor spends 70 hours a week reading and studying his Bible and praying. He's a man of faith. No, it's universal. What faith I have, you're supposed to have. Amen? Maybe somebody's got a stronger faith, but it is like faith. There's not a faith for pastors and then a faith for the common laity. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's one Lord, one faith. Amen? You know what I got to thinking? Real faith is for everyone. It's not just for pastors and missionaries and evangelists. It's not for old people only and for people who have nothing else to live for. Real faith is for thieves on a cross. Amen? Praise God. Real faith is also for the kings on their thrones. Remember Agrippa? Paul preaching to him saying, won't you get saved? Real faith is for moms. Real faith is for dads. You know, real faith is for rebels and it's for the quiet ones too. Amen? It's for everybody. It is for absolutely everybody, no matter how messed up your life may be. It is common. Fourthly, real faith is proven. Take your Bible, look in verse 4 now. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, these exceeding great promises. Go back to chapter 1. What's the purpose of those promises? Just to give you an ooey-gooey feeling. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Just back a few pages to 1 Peter. Talking about us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Hello. You know what a Christian life is? It's a contradiction of the wildest sort. Look what he just said. He said, you greatly rejoice, and yet you live in heaviness. Huh? That's a Christian life. You're not going to have great days and joyous days 24 hours 7. You're going to have a joy that is also alongside a heaviness. Look at the next verse. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? You know, you can prove your faith. You can prove that it's real and it's true. You know how? Through the trials. Let me make two statements. Number one, if your faith grows stronger in the fires and in the trials of life, then your faith is real. Now take that as an encouragement before I make my next statement. If your faith like gold or like silver, they take gold out of the ground, and it's this glob, a beautiful looking gold colored rock, this metal, and they put it into a tray. And then they put that tray where? In the refrigerator? It goes into a furnace that has just the right temperature, and they put that in there, and that gold begins to melt. That silver begins to become a liquid. And then they take it out of there, and they might actually, they take a hammer and they bang it a couple of times. Oh, isn't life like that? You're in the fire, and then God brings a hammer. You're saying, ow, ow, ow. And then he takes it out. Then out comes that tray full of that precious metal, and they set it aside and they let it cool off. Aren't you glad when God just sort of takes you out of the fire and lets things cool down for a little while? But in the process, he comes over there, and that the person who is coordinating the refining process, whatever he's called, he comes over and he takes a long metal instrument, I forget what it's called, and he looks into that tray, and on the top of that silver, on the top of that gold, is a crust. Oh, if we only saw what our life was like. And it's full of the impurities that were in the gold, in the silver. And he takes, and before it cools off too much, he scrapes it clear. And he throws it away. And he lets it cool down, and things go fine for a few weeks, and then the Lord comes along and says, ha, time to heat that thing up again. And back in the fire it goes. What's he doing that for? Making it pure. Making it worth more. The trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold. And if your faith grows stronger and purer, then you have the right kind of faith. If every time you get into a battle, every time that your faith is tested and you want to run and you give up on God, you give up on church, and the last thing you want to do is read your Bible, then I'm here to tell you, you got the wrong faith. Hard to say amen to that one, amen. If your faith weakens and shrinks in the troubles and the trials of life, then clearly it's full of flaws. And you're going to have to determine in your prayer life to say, Lord, evidently my faith is built upon men. Evidently my faith is built upon what people and what life has taught me about good and about right. And I want it, however, to be built on the solid truths of the Word of God. And when I go into that trial, when I go into that fire, I want to see my faith grow. Amen? You're going to have to let Him put you in there. And when that hammer comes and hitting, what is He doing? It's dislodging things to come up to the top. That's what it's doing. That's how you prove your faith. And the right kind of faith is biblical. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians, go back to the left. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 13. Paul is remembering, reminiscing of his time when he preached in a city called Thessalonica. And he's remembering about how they got saved and their response to his preaching. Look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. I can't stop thanking God about you guys. Look, verse 13 goes on. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, all they did was preach the word of God. When you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of Paul or the word of Peter or the word of Moses or the word of David. You did not receive it as the word of mere men, but as it is in truth, you received it as the what? As the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. To be a Christian at all, in any true sense of the word, you're going to have to believe the words of God. Real faith, true faith, right kind of faith is biblical. And that's it. Do you believe the word of God? Do we take... Let me get right down to you. All right? You ready, Celine? Do we take... I have to remember, I have to say this right. Do we take the Bible's attitude and his teaching about attitudes for our attitudes? Do we believe the Bible when it talks about attitudes? Oh, I know stealing is wrong. Oh, I know adultery is wrong. But do we take the Bible's teaching about attitude and allow it to change our attitude? You see, real faith is so biblical that we come to it and we say, and it comes on and it says, put away bitterness. Put away evil speaking. And you go, whoa, but I like being bitter. Amen. True faith comes and says, but God said it. And that settles it. Amen. Do you believe, you know, there are some people, you sit down, I don't know. You're talking about impossible cases. When every day you're sitting down in front of the television, you're watching all of these talk shows, you're watching all of these people working through people's problems and all of their marriage situations. I don't know how anybody gets God. I don't know how anybody gets saved. Because ultimately, they're saying, you have a right to be angry. You have a right to walk away from that relationship. You have a right to do this, and you have a right to do that. You know what the Bible says? You better find out what God says to do. Real faith says, humble yourself. And we go, ooh, that's hard. Well, real faith is biblical to the point where it sounds very hard. Do you believe, hey, when it comes to the Word of God, do we really believe that God created the heavens and the earth just as He said He did? I mean, out of nothing. Scientists were arguing with this preacher saying, well, you know what? We don't believe in God because everything that your Bible says that God did, we can do too. Oh, yeah? Yeah, we can create life. We can create planets. We can create anything we want. Oh, yeah? Okay. So he says, watch. We're going to get us some dirt and we'll build us our own world. And the preacher said, you got to start from nothing. Amen? Amen. Do you really believe? I do. I really believe from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22:21. The Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning. Amen? Do you believe that God is the Lord of history? Oh, this is going to be fun. I'm almost finished with a book on Irish history. I've learned a lot. You want to know what the name of the book is? Irish History for Dummies. But I've got 6 other books on Irish history and couldn't get it. And now some things have been put together. I love it. But you know what's wild looking at that thing? I'm looking for God in His hand in the history of this country. And the Christians, if they believe the Word of God, you're going to have to step back and go, you know, God is the Lord of history. As a matter of fact, it's called His story. History. Either you believe that God is the Lord of history and of destiny, or else you're a fatalist. Amen? And all anarchists, all dictators, all people who ultimately ride in the streets are fatalists. Not me. I believe God. Do you believe that God is in charge of the international affairs of this world and that He is steering and guiding world events, even overwhelming them and overtaking those world events in order to bring about His purpose? Do you believe that? I believe it. You say, what a disaster. Look what happened. How did God allow the tsunami to happen? 4,000 people to die at a World Trade Center. I don't know, but I know God's still in control. And I got the pleasure one day of asking the Father, why? Do you have that great pleasure? I'm going to be with Him one day. And believe me, I'll have plenty of questions. But I know this, I'll get some answers. Right now I may not have the answers, but I know He's got them. And they'll be good. Amen? Do we believe that He is Lord over your life? And He has a supreme claim on your life and your time? Do you believe that? If your faith is biblical, you'll believe He has a claim on your life. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God come in the flesh? Oh, yeah, I believe that. Wait a minute. Do you really believe that or do you just agree with it? I love Him. I talk to Him in prayer. I believe He listens to me and He answers my prayer. Do you just agree with those statements, or do you really believe it? There's a difference. Your prayer life will prove it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does that person really believe in Jesus, the Son of God? You couldn't tell with a halogen torch. But when you're praying on your face before God, And you're not just saying, oh God, if you're there. No, no, no. When you pray, oh Lord, my God, oh Lord, my Savior, oh Jesus, the one I love, I come to you now and I need you. Now that's somebody who believes. Amen. You know, faith is an empty hand taking the gift of truth from the hand of God. That's all it is. Whatever He gives, I take. Let me give you a reality check. If you haven't got faith, then you're not really a Christian at all. To go to church and not believe the words of this book is to admit you're not a Christian and in need of a Savior. The only one that works is Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said to His Father? Thy word is truth. He settled it. I'm talking to you about the four effects of faith. The four things that faith will do for you. Number one, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You can leave 1 Peter there. Next week we'll learn about adding to our faith. But right now, Ephesians chapter 2, we're talking about getting faith and living by faith. We cannot go to the next stage and the next level until faith has been settled. Do you believe God as He said it in His book? A lot of people create God in their own image. You know, there are a lot of people who believe God is a she. A lot of people make Jesus into a feminine deity. They actually end up with four instead of a trinity. They are God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Mother. They're trying to elevate Mary there. See, they're trying to create a God and trying to have a faith of their own. And you know what that is? That's wasted faith. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. You know these verses, but they're precious enough to read again. For by grace are you saved through what? And that gift, that salvation is not of yourselves. It is the what? It is the gift of God. It is not of works. Can you save your soul by good works? No. It is not of works, lest any man boast. You know what faith does? It gets you into heaven. Say, what do I have to do to get saved, Brother Ledbetter? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that cool? And you know what? It's not only good enough for you, it's good for your whole house. Amen? Praise God. Faith will access the free gift. You will not be able to tap into the free gift of eternal life without faith. You can't just say, well, I was born in a good Christian home, therefore I deserve to be forgiven and deserve to be a child of God. No, there's nothing deserving. You've got to ask, believing, amen, and you will receive. Second thing that faith will do for you, it'll give you the peace of God. Romans chapter 5. Go back to the left. Romans chapter 5. It'll access peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified, that means made right by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you know why the world's going to hell? I'll tell you why. Proverbs says this, because there is no fear of God in their eyes. Do you know why somebody usually gets saved? Because they become very afraid of God. Amen. Do you know when they get saved, do you know what happens to that fear? It melts away. And you get the peace of God. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody's going through a hard time. Somebody's banging their head against the wall. Somebody is just being brought low. Praise God. God's trying to save their soul. Amen? Hallelujah. If everything's going fine and they don't need God, you better pray and you better plead for God to do something to catch them, catch their attention before they enter into eternity. And it's too late. Next time you're going through a rough time, by faith, get close. Get under the shadow of the Almighty. All you have to do is by faith. Say, what is faith? Go by the book. You know how you drive? Oh, I'm gonna blow your mind. You drive by faith. Did you know that? That does not mean with your eyes closed. That means you get a book called The Rules of the Road, and you obey the rules of the road. Amen? That's pretty cool. Do you know how you know what that's called? Driving. I'm calling it driving by faith, because in that faith, you are trusting that the rules of the road are right. Amen? Amen? And you go from A to B. Now, the only problem with driving is not everybody else is driving by faith. They're not obeying the rules of the road. But here's the point. As a Christian, if I'm going to live by faith, I go by the book. Amen? I just do what it says. Amen? Now, as a Christian, you're going through a rough time, go by the book. And God's peace will be in there. It just floods you. You have access to eternal life just as freely the moment that you cried out, God, I'm a sinner. God, I deserve hell. God, you gave me the gift of eternal life. It's waiting to be received. I now receive it. Amen. How long did it take for you to get saved? Instantly. Hey, going through a rough time. God, I'm still a sinner. I'm still messed up. And I'm hurting real bad. And I feel like giving up, and I feel like things are just too much for me. God, by faith, I hear that there's something called peace up there. It's a gift for me, and I ask for it. I just receive it by faith. How long will it take for it to come? It ought to be instant. Depends on whether you really want it and whether you really receive it, you're going to get it. You know why most people don't get saved? Because they really don't believe they're going to get it. God, save me, but I know you won't. God, give me peace of this trial, but I know you won't. God, give me a husband, but I know you won't. God, kill my husband, I know you won't. Yeah. Now don't pray the last prayer. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, another thing that faith does is it pleases God. You want to please God? Well, I know that I'd please God if I gave up my alcohol, if I gave up my cigarettes. I know it pleased God that if I got right with my wife and if I got a job, I know it. No, 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 no. Let's go back to the first step, Hebrews chapter 11, please. You cannot please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Is this helping anybody? Anybody getting a blessing at all? I know it's quiet today. I know it's an hour early. I know your body is crying. Please, finish so I can go back to bed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must, what's the next word? I love this part of the phrase. It says, must believe that He is there, and that He is there for you. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him by faith. You know, your efforts will not please God. You know, brother, God, you know, I won 57 souls to Christ this week. Does that please God? No. Now, there's rejoicing in heaven, but I want you to understand, if you did it out of work to try to impress God, you had a wasted effort. But if you did it out of love for God in faith, just believing that the book still saves souls, not you, then He's pleased. Do you understand? I, Father, I did this. You know what God does? Not impressed at all. Faith will please God. Just confidence. Hey, you get the song. God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing round you. I know Lily hates this song. joking. When the fiery darts surround you. When despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice. When the wisest man has spoken. And says your circumstances as hopeless as can be. Well, that's when God wants to hear you sing. Amen? That's faith. Faith says, I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what's happening. I'm just going to go ahead and praise God. I'm going to press on, and I'm going to believe that He is in control. Amen? Amen. Nah, she doesn't hate that song. I just want to pick on somebody. Mark 11. Quickly. You're going too slow. Hurry up. Fast. Mark 11. Come on, you ought to know this Bible by faith. Come on. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, talking about praying. When you pray, you know what you need to do? Believe. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. It's only by faith, though. Don't sit there and say, you know, God, I'm your child. I had this. I went fishing with this preacher. Never go fishing with preachers. Not unless you really want to get an education on human nature. We're out there fishing. We're out course fishing out in the ocean. All right? I'm getting seasick, man. And the waves are going like, ugh. I didn't like to go fishing. I want to fish by a lake or by a river. They want to go on a boat. Oh, man, there's all this stuff around the edges of the boat. We're wondering where it's coming from. But anyway, we won't go there. We're out there fishing, and there's this preacher over there praying, dear God, you know I'm your favorite. So God, give me the biggest fish. Show him I'm your favorite. Oh, I hate people like that. They doesn't say he caught more fish than I did. But listen, Mark 11, 24 says this, therefore I say unto you that whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, what's the next ingredient? And I think it's missing from our prayer life, believe. Now, you need to balance that out. Also say, if it be your will. Okay? But there does need to be some serious faith in our prayer. Amen? Last, go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. To the right, after Hebrews, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It brings all good things into your life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. According as His divine power, that's His God power, hath given unto us, how many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. You know what the effect of faith is? I just know Jesus, therefore, everything I need, I have access to by faith. How do you grow your faith? Two quick verses here. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. You know, here, Geraldine, you think the apostles were great spiritual giants walking on this earth? No, she knows better. You know what the apostles prayed? They asked Jesus a very simple prayer request, and you can pray it too. Luke 17, verse 5. Lord, what does it say? Increase our faith. Can you pray that? You think you need to? I do. Listen, how to grow your faith. Just very briefly, there are four things you need to do to grow your faith. Listen, there are no shortcuts. We fail in our Christian life simply because we fail at this step of growing our faith. You cannot build a house upon a paper-thin foundation. Do you understand? You cannot build the other steps of your life, the other parts of your life, on a piece of flimsy faith. Your faith has to be solid, thick, and believe me, it has to be growing. You have to add to it and add to it. It's not a one-time event. Your salvation is a one-time event, settled in heaven because Jesus did all that was necessary for you to be accepted in the Beloved. Amen? But now the storms of life and the struggles and the steps of the Christian's life, if they're going to be successful, if they're going to be fruitful, they're going to have to be built upon a foundation of faith that is constantly being worn away, that is constantly being attacked, there is a thief and a robber who comes and actually takes chunks of faith away. And you're going, where did my faith go? Amen? And you're going to have to just start adding faith again. You ever heard of subsidence? You ever seen a house? It was beautiful. And like, you know what they do? They come in there and they get that foundation out of there and they prop it up and they put a new foundation in. And you're going to have to see sometimes that your knowledge of the Bible may be wrong. And you're going to have to just straighten it out and get your faith strong again in what the Word of God says, not what some book says. Too many Christians will read books about the Bible, they'll watch videos about the Bible, but they don't know the Bible. Amen? So So they'll believe in prosperity type of Christianity, and they get all flustered, and they get all discouraged, and they fall on their face, and they give up on God, and then somebody says, did you ever read the Bible? Well, I heard this preacher say, but did you read the Bible? And did you study what God said? Amen? There are no shortcuts. These are the ways you grow your faith. Number one, feed it. Feed it. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing only by... You know what you got? You have a miracle place right here. This place is the only place for miles. I'm glad for other churches, Bible-believing churches, but there aren't that many of them. But this is a place where everybody in this room has a Bible. Did you ever see that? Did that ever just strike you as, wow? Amen? You know why we're doing that? Trying to get you to feed on it. Constantly feed it. Study your book. Live in that book. God, help us to feed on the pages of this book. You know, I was with Tony on, what was it, Thursday, and I said, I could eat a cup of coffee. Remember that? So guess what we did? We stopped and got a cup of coffee. You know what? You're going to have to learn to just devour your Bible. Reading it, studying it, not sampling it. Don't you, ladies, don't you hate it when somebody brings out a big tray of Ferrero Rochers? And you're looking around, is anybody going to notice? You could devour them. Believe me, God gave you that book not to just take one and act really demure and really, you know, petite. Man, just dive into it. You need to just set aside some time and just read 10 chapters and find out what it does for your heart. There's no person in this room who couldn't confess that they're too busy. And that they're not feeding on this book. They may snack. They may get a good feed on a Sunday. But they're starving in their faith. To grow your confidence in God, you're going to have to get into this Bible starting in Matthew and read into Revelation. Do you know how many... Some of you may know this question. How many hours would it take to read that Bible start to finish? At normal speed. Not in the beginning God created the heaven and earth and those without form and void. At normal speed. How long would it take to read the entire Bible? Well, I don't know. 3 days. 72 hours. Just take 3 hours. 3 hours. 3 days, sorry. 3 days. Now you need to get some sleep. You need to get some work. It's so big. No, you're so lazy. Can I hear an amen there? It's too complicated. No, you're just thick as a brick. And you need to just stay at it and stay at it till the brick cracks and you go, I got it. 72 hours. You need to read your Bible. Hey, can I make a suggestion? I put out a little notepad there so you can write some things down while I'm preaching. You know what you need? If you want your Bible reading to be successful, you want your faith to grow, then get you a wire-bound notebook. Get you some paper that will stay together. And when you open your Bible, you title the top of the page, Matthew chapter 12, wherever you are. And as you're reading, whatever comes to your mind, write something down. I need to do the laundry. No, not that, not that, not that, not that. Write something that you thought about while you were reading from the book. Amen? Now, I know people who, when they start writing, when they read the Bible, they're writing pages and pages and pages, and they never get to the laundry. Amen? You can't do that. You're going to have to find a balance and just write something down, and when you finish that chapter, you'll go, that was good. Amen? That's how you grow your faith. Feed it. Secondly, force it. Ooh, you don't like that. Force it. You know what you're... If a Christian's going to grow in their faith, they're going to have to start using their faith. They're going to have to start doing some things that the book says even though they don't want to. You're going to have to start trusting God for the outcome where you are making yourself obey the book. Well, the book says I have to bite my tongue and not tell that person off. Amen! Force yourself to obey the book. Amen? The steps of a good man or, as Joseph was saying, ordered by the Lord. You may say, hey, I don't have much faith. You liar. You're just not using what you have. Do you know it's not the amount of faith you have, it's whether all of your faith simply rests on Jesus Christ and is willing to obey what the book says. Secondly, I said fight with it. Did you know wrestling with your spiritual enemy by faith instead of by sight will make you stronger? It'll make you better as a Christian in time, in your experience. By habit, we only fight the way we used to fighting. If you're used to fighting with knives and fists, it's hard to fight with prayer. Would you agree? Your enemy comes up and just digs you and actually just demoralizes you. It's hard to say, I'm going to pray for you, without saying that God kills you. It's hard to fight spiritually by faith. Would you agree? All right. Force yourself to then. Amen? Force it. He'll enable you to take the next steps, folks, when we talk about virtue and we talk about the ultimate goal of charity and brotherly kindness. Third, fight with it. I'm already on to that point. Fight with it. Lastly, live in it. Faith is not something found in a book. Well, I have my faith. My faith is down in my church. My faith is in my family. My faith is in myself. No. Faith is the key to the unseen world of the Spirit-filled life. Are you listening? It is the key to the unseen world of the Spirit-filled life of the believer who walks above the world, above the trials, and above the limitations of the flesh. Do you like miracles, yes or no? Do you like things to happen that just could not have happened otherwise? Then it's going to only happen in faith. What if you don't increase your faith? Simply, you will fall. You won't lose your salvation, but you will probably lose everything else. If you're not willing to live and fight and walk by faith, you could lose your family. You could lose your mind. You'll certainly lose your health. You'll lose your peace, your purpose, God's blessing. Secondly, you will never succeed at anything of value without faith. Every success without dependence upon God is vanity. Solomon, at the end of his life, said, everything I did was an empty effort. He's supposed to be the smartest man who ever lived. Everything he concluded would only pass on to someone else. He wouldn't even get to enjoy it. It will only crumble to dust. It will either be stolen or will die. Yet faith in the eternal God is where eternal life is found and eternal rewards and eternal treasures and eternal joy. Without strong, growing, vibrant faith, the devil will make mince of your life. Last verse, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at this Bible. We know verse 8, but rarely do we connect verse 9. Be sober. 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he's speaking to Christians, verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are all over the world. You're not alone. And by faith is the victory. Amen. Now what are you going to do with your faith? You know, Jesus, when he's woken up and Peter has rebuked him and says, Lord, we're perishing, don't you care? You know what Jesus said? Hey, where's your faith? What a slam. He didn't say, hey, what happened to the boat? How come the boat's not stronger? He didn't say, hey guys, how come you didn't row harder? He just said, where's your faith? You ought to ponder that for a good hour today. Where is your faith? Do you have any? Maybe it's been stolen. Maybe it's been run over by life, ruined by sin. You know what Hebrews 12 says? Jesus is the author, and thankfully he's the finisher of our faith. If you let him lead, and you will just simply, like a child, follow your Father in heaven, you'll finally have something called eternal life. Start as a sinner. Moms, dads, teens, and grandpas, nans and businessmen and women. If you'll come to Christ Jesus by faith only, not by sight. We don't have statues here. We don't have to go to a certain place in order to focus on a thing. You can come in your heart of hearts knowing that He's there. Paul says it this way, He's not very far from any of us. You come by faith, believe in this Bible to be true, and if you'll ask God to forgive you of all of your sins and make you His child, guess what He'll do? He will. Christian, how big is your faith? I think all of us need some steroids for our faith. Crude term, but we need some help. You've got enough to think about for a week. What are you going to do with it? Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask You by faith that every person in this room, every person in this room would take a look at their faith. Not at their bank account, not at their home life, not at the kind of car they drive or don't drive, not at their clothes, but at their confidence in You, their belief in You. And let them ask themselves, are they in the faith? Do they put on a show? Are they hypocrites? Are they just actors? Or are they really Your children, trusting You from day to day, moment to moment? Father, I ask that every person in this room would confess and plead and beg You, Lord, that we have little faith, and we ask You to increase our faith. For the person in this room who is not saved, they may be a teenager, they may be a mom, a dad, if they're not saved, if they're not born again, if they're put on a show, God, please convict their heart, grip their heart, make their heart pound with fear of missing this opportunity to get their sins forgiven. May they talk to You straight up and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. I receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Somebody can pray that today. And every Christian in this room can say, Lord, by faith You saved me, and by that same faith I can live. Help me live by faith and grow my faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab our hymnal, please. And we'll just sing softly and tenderly. 246, 246. We'll sing the first and the last, and we'll be through. Softly and